This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Binge Down TV and our anime coverage finally returning. I'm trying to think, the last anime thing we must have done was Attack on Titan. What season? The final season, part two,
which is, yeah, part two out of,
I guess it was, because three came out maybe like, but beginning of June. The final, hopefully part four comes out, what, later this year, maybe like November-ish, October, who I don't even know at this point. We've been talking about doing anime coverage forever. We're huge anime fans. We are particularly big One Piece fans. So we've been chatting a lot about doing One Piece, like manga chapter discussions monthly. But now that there's the live action Netflix show is coming down the pike, I think that will probably be the next thing we get into. In terms of One Piece, obviously, we're talking about Jujutsu Kaisen today. If you've read the title of either the podcast episode or a YouTube video, if you're watching our beautiful faces on YouTube, you'll also notice that this video style is not what we normally do. Usually we're on Zoom, but we're actually all together for this because we've recently become addicted to Dungeons and Dragons. As you can see with some of the materials on the on the table here. So we're going to play after this. So that's why we're all together. So most episodes after this will probably be on Zoom, but it's just nice for us to be in person together. And I guess Binge Town Housekeeping, our patriarch of the company, Jimmy, would kill me if I don't say all of this. So we have been kind of doing separate feeds now lately. So you've probably maybe found this if you're listening on our Jujutsu Kaisen individual feed. Just to let you know, Benchtown TV is a podcast that does way more than just this. We've covered 75 shows. We're coming down on 400 episodes. So I would, if I were you and you like what you hear for the rest of this episode, go to our main Benchtown TV feed, subscribe to that as well as subscribing to this. Then you'll be in the know of everything we do. I mean, shit, we just covered what, season two of The Bear, Secret Invasion's going on right now, Cruel Summer. Silo on Apple TV has been crushing it. People love that show. People loved our podcast coverage of it. So I would definitely check out both of those things.
The Witcher.
The Witcher part one. Geez, another part one of something. just wrapped up at the end of June. And we wrapped up our coverage, I guess, what, earlier this month. Part two comes back in July 27th. So we'll be right back on The Witcher train at the end of this month. One Piece, like I said, end of August. Wheel of Time starts in September. So we'll be here. We've been doing this for 3+ years. We'll probably keep doing it for 3+ more. So if you like what you hear, please follow along with us. We also
give us a like if you want more anime coverage coming to the podcast.
Yeah, we're trying. We always say we're trying to do more. We are trying to do more anime coverage. And the last thing I'll say is that we have kind of started to be more, engaged with our Discord. So if you would like to kind of talk with us outside of the podcast in the comments on videos, we're fairly active in the Discord. There's 7 of us at Binge Town. We all talk about different shows, all that kind of stuff. So anything that you like, we'll probably be talking about it in there. So I would probably, best way is going to our Twitter, and there's a link in our bio, which is at Binge Town TV. This is the longest intro we have ever done ever. So I'm going to stop.
5 minutes.
I'm going to stop talking about all of that stuff. And Jujutsu Kaisen season 2, Episode 1, somebody start talking. That's not me.
Let me go, because for our Attack on Titan coverage, this is the recurring cast. So I'm Dave. Kyle's our host for this one. I was the host on Attack on Titan because I was a manga reader. Kyle is our host here. He's not as much of a manga reader as our third friend here, Alki.
What's up?
And so for my experience, I'm only a show watcher, no manga reading whatsoever. And gotta say, season one kicked off with a bang, man. I'm happy this is back. Obviously, I saw the movie as well when it came out in theaters. Season one blew me away. Did need a little bit of a recap since it's been a little bit since season one came out, but season two started off so strong, especially if we're getting into backstory about my favorite character on this show, Gojo, so far, then of course I'm going to love every second of it. So those are my quick thoughts.
Yeah. Jujutsu Kaisen has been one of my favorite mangas to read week by week, and I was introduced to it by the anime. It's usually the way things go for me. I mean, I watch an anime, I really like it, and I can't wait, so I ended up reading the manga. It's a very detailed story in terms of the power scaling, the intricacies of the powers, and the lore also is pretty deep as well. It's certainly a more serious anime versus something like maybe Demon Slayer,
My Hero.
It's not like very kiddish, no like power of friendship mumbo jumbo, which been annoying me with My Hero Academia lately. But overall, the story did kick off with a bang in season two here. You get to see a lot of our already well-known characters, and you know, hopefully we'll uncover a little bit of why the way they are now. So Kyle, why don't you take us away, man?
And before I do that, just to quickly address Dave's point about me not being as much of a manga reader.
Oh, yes.
Algie and I, you're good. You can talk about me all you want. Algie and I have both read all of what season two will cover.
Yeah.
So we will have read all of it. He is farther than I am. I kind of tailed off.
He's been slacking, dude.
I have been. I've been slacking in reading everything besides pretty much One Piece.
Yeah, that's why you're the senpai, and I'm sensei. I know.
That's where it's at this point. So we will dive into episode one. Not a ton of things happen in this episode, but we'll try to break it down and essentially we'll talk about the mission at the start of the episode, and then we'll get into Gojo and Geto's relationship and their new mission at the end of the episode. So essentially, first half of the episode, we have Mei and Utahime are kind of on this mission to the previous president of Japan is what I got out of it. He had killed himself. They kind of give us a nice little refresher on like cursed energy and how curses kind of come to be in this world. Everyone's just kind of afraid of the place. It has bad energy around it. Students have disappeared. So now these two, our two heroines, are going to the mansion to explore the house. Things become not as they seem. And then we get into a little bit of tomfoolery. So I would just completely open the floor to the whole mission, maybe up until Gojo and Geto show up. So like just anything you thought about Mei and Utahime, exploring the house and the kind of everything else.
For me, it took me a second to remember who Mei was, especially with her hair not being like ponytailed in front of her face. So I saw her and I was like, she looks familiar, and I had to look it up. Didn't get any spoilers, thankfully, from hitting up the Wikipedia, which was nice.
That's
but
always so it's dangerous risky,
it was,
dude.
But I had to get the confirmation, but it was really cool seeing Mei in the past also still being a badass, because there I do, as much as we haven't really seen too much of her in season one, she's still led on to be a badass, and we definitely see it in the past with how she's mentoring Utahime, and it was really cool seeing her, and I definitely like her character design in the past more than the stupid braid in the present.
She's one of the strongest sorcerers. I mean, she's what, a grade one, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
and that is the highest, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
You're correct.
Yeah, so I mean, she's legit, you know, and you know, we know now that in present time, Gojo is the strongest, quote unquote, so he says, and so people seem to believe. But, you know, right now, he's only a second year, and Mei is a grade one sorcerer. So it's pretty cool just to see.
Let me lay it out, too. That was the moment in episode one that I knew this was going to be my favorite character. He just shows up and he's like, don't worry, I'm the strongest.
He's
How
cool
do you not
hell.
Love that?
His design is so sweet. Like
White hair always.
His power is so cool. And yeah, he has that like Kakashi trope, but he is a little bit more animated. He has better quips, I'd say.
He's funny. Man.
Yeah, he's funny. And he's cool. He like resonates with the guys and the students and the kids seem to look up to him as their sensei, not only because he is very strong, obviously, but he can relate to them a little bit. And he's been through the same experiences they have. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I just like how I love Mei's character trait of that. She just loves money.
Yeah.
It just continued the season one. That was pretty much most of almost what we got about her character. For the most point, we get it immediately as in her reintroduction in this episode, which I just love that little thread that runs through. Honestly, Alki, you have written down a lot of the differences. I'm sure anyone who has read the manga, watched this episode, noticed some things had changed stylistically. Some choices were different. In this scene, it was mostly that Utahime in the manga is the one who like figures out what's wrong with the barrier.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for addressing that, because I was going to write that down. I was also thinking of just doing that, all that at the end.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, it was something that I thought about, because I just did it as well. I read the chapters afterwards.
Was she by herself, or was she?
No, they were together.
And I'll get in, I guess. Should I just go into it? So, okay. So they were together, but it just cuts right into the looping hallway at the start of the chapter. And basically, Utahime is like, I think it's overlapping. And I think if we run opposite directions, like, it'll break. And that whole conversation of like, that's 90% correct, not 100%. Like, how do I get that 100%? That never happened.
Yeah.
And also the whole,
I like that conversation.
Yeah, it was good. Cool. Like,
she was like, oh, you like got 90% of the puzzle solved. You're like, what's the extra 10? And then she figures it out. Like, so, I mean, I'm going to cut you off a little bit really quickly. Okay, just say, like, it sounds like Mei, obviously in the manga, displayed her abilities pretty well in this scene. And I think even though she wasn't the one to maybe stop the, figure out what was wrong with the barrier, they still did a good job at showing she has potential and is capable of being a good jujitsu sorcerer.
You mean Utahime or
Utahime? Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a huge detail. I think they just added it because they needed to fill a little bit of the episode. Like the backstory in the manga chapters is not that many chapters.
Yeah, and I think it's probably just to beef up Mei as a character.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, just giving her a little bit more spotlight.
So yeah, and also that whole intro about like the president and that like video clip of his family and all that they never got into that was just made up.
I literally, when I went back to read the chapters, it's like you said, starts in the middle of like the barrier scene in the hallway, and I was like, what the fuck? And then I went back and the chapter before that is Mei and Toto playing ping pong. I was like, what the fuck is this missing chapter? And then I was like, oh wait, this is literally where it's
the season break. That's
what's yeah. So as soon as this episode started, I was like, wait, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? Cause like in some animes, Vinland Saga, for example, there was a couple things in the recent season that confirmed a couple speculations people had online about the manga that they never addressed.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, what the hell is this? But in reality, when you look it up a little bit, it's just some creative. They use their creative license a little bit just to beef some things up, but it does not take away from the overall path of the story at all.
Yeah. And I think for the rest of this episode, once we get to a scene where there's like a noticeable difference like that, more than welcome you just step in.
Okay, sounds good.
Describe it as you'd like.
We're working out the kinks, guys. You know what I mean?
So before we get into our favorite character, Gojo, showing back up, I just want to discuss briefly the opening. Obviously, we have a new opening, a new song. I wasn't in love with the song. I just kind of wrote down that it'll probably grow on me, but I don't love it. And I said that the visuals in the second half of the opening, I thought were very nice.
So I'm glad we brought this up, because I actually skipped it.
Yeah,
I tend to skip it because sometimes a lot of the times there's spoilers. Yeah. So like,
no, every time there was spoilers in this one.
I was going to say, I was hoping on this podcast we could tell me if there were spoilers.
There's spoilers. I mean,
maybe just listen to it rather than just watch the scenes. But I feel like that always adds the extra mile to it. But
yeah,
I would say too, even in the first season, like the first two songs, I mean, the outro definitely didn't like catch me like right away. What? Right away.
Okay.
And then a few more episodes go by and I'm like bopping.
Yeah, they're breaking it down. The animation style.
Yeah. So it'll grow on you, but I'll listen to it, not watch it for the next pod.
I liked it. It was like emo punk, right? I thought it was pretty sweet.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it'll grow on me. It's just at the start, I was like, okay.
Whatever. Oh no, I didn't like it. It was like that math rock shit that everybody likes. It's called math rock. We don't have to.
That's interesting.
That could be a whole other topic.
Yeah,
he's gonna start a music podcast.
Yeah.
We can talk about it more. We'll get a new opening, obviously, at some point, because
halfway through,
the backstory will fade away into like current time, and we'll get a new one. So then we can kind of maybe compare and contrast. So, okay, now moving back into the story itself, very quickly, we got the classic anime box of description on people. We learned that at this point in time, Gojo is a second-year student. Utahime is a second-grade sorcerer. And obviously, Mei is a first-grade sorcerer. So, just immediately, as soon as Gojo shows up, obviously the hijinks begin. And just the absolute tomfoolery. Him and Geto, it's so nice to see them friends. We learned obviously in season one that they had a past We learn in the movie as well that they have a past. So it's interesting that we kind of smash cut into them like butting heads a little bit. It's not like Naruto and Sasuke, but it's kind of like it in the sense that like they're somewhat rivals and butting heads and stuff like that. So I'm just curious if Dave, you're like what you were thinking as they were just kind of popping up in this scene.
So I'm going to be honest. It was, I guess, a little confusing because I think the cold opening of the episode is Geto, right? Is
very true. Very
yeah.
True.
So the cold opening is Geto just exercising a random demon that he sees in the streets, but he's going through this monologue explaining how basically he's sick of saving weak people at the core of it, essentially. And then so we get that scene and then we get into pretty much where we're at now. And then we're talking and Geto is clearly good. And he's talking about how he wants to save the weaker people. And that's what Jujutsu sorcerers do. So I think the contrast of how we cold open with him kind of towards the end of what I'm going to guess is going to be this flashback of him and Gojo having that showdown and looking at each other, one final conversation. And how we're now just kind of going into his nicer side before he becomes evil, which I just think he's a badass. I really like Geto as a person. I think even when we've seen him on the evil side, like he has a bit of a flair to him, like a little personality. He's funny. And we see that enhanced with Gojo's presence. And it was just really awesome scene. I love when they do the little like shitty cartoon.
Dude, I was just going to bring it up. The animation and the sound of him walking up the steps while they're having like a somewhat serious conversation and you slowly see his head and it just keeps becoming
Gojo's
his body.
Like brushing him, I think.
Oh, I was just smiling ear to ear. It's so funny. I love it.
So,
definitely love Geto as a villain and as a character so far.
Yeah. You have a little compare and contrast for us?
Yeah. So apparently, according to the wiki, Geto is actually considered the most popular among male characters, which very is pretty interesting to you know, talk
most
about
popular it. Like, but sexy time or
I
like,
don't know, because it's kind of funny because then it says Suguru ranked 15th place in the manga's first character popularity poll, so it's just not clear. Like,
I can see. I mean, he definitely falls into my probably top three of characters on the show. And
I don't
know how
that makes sense
so far.
Is it like meta, like in universe?
I don't know. Actually,
like so much.
Actually, because apparently, according to the first popularity poll, number three is Gojo, and then number 15 is Geto, which that doesn't make sense.
The first popularity poll probably took place like midway through the first like arc.
Yeah, it's usually pretty early.
Yeah.
So, at that point,
because you probably didn't know anything about Geto, but I would imagine his popularity has skyrocketed with the release of the movie and the end of the season.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. All right. So we basically very quickly just learned that they had been there for 2 days. I only bring they as in Mei and Udahime. I only bring this up because, like I said, I enjoy the Mei's character trait of that. She just loves money and she's like, oh, so it was 2 days worth of work. So she's in her mind getting paid for much more than she did. That gave me a little chuckle.
Only real world could be like that. Just like wake up one day and just be like, oh, it's been 3 days. I should get paid for this.
Yeah. And it felt like you only worked 4 hours.
Yeah.
So we go back to school. We just class. I don't know. Jujutsu Kaisen just makes me laugh a lot. So even though we talked about earlier that it's like very serious and dark, it does make me laugh often. We basically find out that it is Gojo, Geto, and a character named Shoko are like their version of like the trio. Yeah, the triple threat trio for them. They're getting yelled at because they didn't cast a veil when Gojo fucking blew up the whole mansion. So now it's on the news and everything. And the principal is like, you know, whatever, like someone did this. And Gojo's like, well, I don't think we should point fingers. And he's like, it was obviously you jackass.
I mean, it's funny that the principal doesn't really get when he talks, people are always so quick to talk over him and just like brush him off as a side character. I think it's so funny that's how they treat him.
In the anime episode, did Gojo blow up the mansion or did Udahime and Mei running in opposite directions shatter it?
I thought it was like she thought it was working as she was running, but it became way too big of an effect for it to actually be them breaking it like that. Gojo just
I have in my notes that it was pretty obvious in the manga that like Gojo just blew it up. Like, that's, it wasn't really actually up for debate.
For me, I honestly took it as like Gojo didn't do anything.
Exactly. That's how I interpreted it too while watching. But when I rewatched and when I like read the manga chapter, it made a little more sense. Also, I don't know if it was clear in the anime, like the the worm coming out of the ground, and then the other one was swallowing the whatever was.
Yeah, I know.
So that was just Geto swallowing the demon. Like, I don't think they made that clear in the anime as well. That's why he's like,
so much
he was bad. Like, okay, don't swallow me. Like, I'll exercise it later. Like, don't swallow or whatever he said.
Okay, because I had both those kind of thoughts were like running in my head. Like, as we see the shot of the demon kind of come out of the ground, and then it's like a huge earthworm that follows it. Yeah. And you do see the face of the earthworm. So I was that cleared up a lot for me.
I think it was difficult in the anime that I feel like the subtitle came up, but he wasn't on the screen.
Yes. So that's what confused me as well.
Yeah. But in the manga, obviously it's the bubble that's to him that says don't swear. He's giving that instruction to his cursed spirit that he's. Yeah.
So Geto, his power is pretty freaking wild.
Yeah. And that's the whole monologue in the beginning is essentially of like how almost his power has turned him. Like against, exactly.
I loved how you describe it. It was just like no one knows besides, like no one ever will know the feeling of eating a demon. It just tastes like puke and shit. And I was like, this is honestly like that's gross and sucks. But like, what an entrance for like if he's the only one that has this ability, that already puts him in a tier of him like by himself.
I am really excited to watch this arc get animated. So I can't wait to watch more of Geto actually in action.
And I will say, just to keep going, we're just kind of rambling now. But Alki is always like. Alki will tell us, you know, you got to read this. But like JJK was always one that like he was in the process of reading My Hero, and we had always heard him, you know, vouch for My Hero. But then like JJK came in, he read it, and he was like, forget everything I said about any other manga. Like reading JJK is great. So this is already implanted in for me. Like the expectations of this season are going to be high, and I fully expect them to be met.
While I did read past Kyle, I think Kyle put me on to JJK.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. You put me on a JJK. Yeah, so I remember. Thank you, Dave, but I can't take all the credit there.
I remember all the bathroom breaks working at Hill's Quality Seafood would just be consumed by reading JJK chapters.
Yeah. And then we would text about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, for a while. It was just
because I think I was like, you got to read Vagabond, right?
Yeah.
And I made you read that, and I read JJK.
Yeah. What a good deal that was.
That was a good deal.
what a solid deal that is.
Solid fantasy trade.
Yeah, that's probably the best deal in history I've ever heard of. All right, so.
Nah, the OG one was me and Luke swapping Naruto and One Piece in fifth grade.
That was the first domino.
That's actually insane. Okay, so we're back at school, like I had just said, and we get into a scene where they're playing basketball in the gymnasium.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
I think it was so cool.
Yeah, and then Gojo and Geto kind of get into this like moral, philosophical discussion about what it actually means to use jujitsu and be a sorcerer. I guess, Dave, maybe what are your thoughts on kind of that discussion between the two of them?
I mean, it kind of draws on what I was talking about earlier. Like, their personalities flipped almost to the extremes of the opposite. You know, like Gojo is now I guess you would say pure good in a sense. You know, he's fighting for the good. He realizes that he needs to teach the younger generation to replace the older generation who is, you know, totally outdated and corrupt a little bit. And so Gojo does have those good intentions, whereas Geto has now separated himself from all those lines that he was saying and while they were playing basketball about, you know, we have to protect the weak. Like it's survival of the weakest, not strongest, is what he says.
Yeah, and I just was so interesting hearing that phrase. I feel like I've never heard that.
Yeah, it definitely caught my ears. I was like, that sounds so weird hearing that presented that way.
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah,
really cool scene. I was upset. I think Geto takes a shot and he misses. And I'm like, that would... Like, if Geto were to fucking shoot a basketball, that thing is going in.
That bothered me, too. Yeah, that bothered me, too. Like, both of them shot and missed.
Gojo's made one in. I think he, like... Maybe the first one missed. It was like a layup or something.
He definitely missed one.
The second one, he like hurdles at the basket. Yeah. And like off a bank, too, it goes in. It's not even like a swish.
They get into it, too, because Gojo obviously responds and he's his cocky classic self and kind of lobs an insult into Geto. And then they start to square up a little bit.
I knew it was going to get interrupted.
Yeah.
I was so
pissed. You see the crack and like the eye and like the cursed spirit starts to come out a little bit. He's like, you want to take this outside? And it's like, oh. Maybe.
I had a quick moment of like, this is going to happen. And then I was like, it's not.
And then classic, the principal comes in, ruins our moment that we wanted to have so badly, and essentially assigns the two of them a new mission. Very brief overview of this mission is that Tengen-sama, who we learned a little bit about in season one, but we kind of get a little bit of a re-education on him. Essentially, his power is, it's a curse technique of immortality, not eternal youth. So every 500 years, he needs a new body to kind of stop himself from becoming like an elevated higher level of being and things like that. So he personally requested Gojo and Geto to find what's called the Star Plasma Vessel, which is the body that he needs. And the principal's a little wary about giving them this mission, but they do get assigned this obviously mission of high importance.
I just want to say, I feel sorry. I'm just like, Kyle speaks and he's going right into me. I'm sorry, but I just feel like they're, this must be like the strongest, like the jujitsu, this jujitsu tech has ever been, because like Gojo in his second year with Geto in his second year are handling a mission that should be held, like that should be done by all these first grade sorcerers. And like, they're just giving it to students. I don't know. Like they, that class just reigns so much more supreme than like our current class right now.
Well, I mean, yes and no, because their opponent, like the people who they're fighting against, the Q group and the Star Vessel, like all the strongest sorcerers are with Jujutsu Kai or with who that other faction from Kyoto. So like, you know, they're not like fighting like,
as far as we know,
strongest. Yeah. As far as we know. So, and you know, you'd think somebody like Tengen, who clearly has been around for the block, I feel like there's might be an underlying reason why he picked them. You
know, there definitely has to be, obviously. Like, again, they've shown themselves to be way ahead of their time in terms of skill. So I think he maybe just wants to polish those skills a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's obviously just Tengen putting respect on specifically Gojo and Geto.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just, I don't know. The principal, in the manga, he says, I remember because I read the manga chapters right after I watched the show, but he essentially says that like this is a mission that like the fate of society itself is resting on this. So like, don't fuck it up. Because Geto says like all of the barriers for all of the jujitsu schools, like pretty much the whole like jujitsu world is like being sustained and held up by Tengen. Mm-hmm. And like, if he became a threat to mankind because this doesn't work out, yeah, like that's going to be so fucked up. It's just so funny.
Now I'm already like in my head, I'm just like, I want Tengen to reach that point of like evolution so I can see how actually like what he's actually capable of. Yeah. I mean, maybe later down the line, we'll see that like that'll be a storyline, but one crisis at a time.
All I'll say for those watching that don't read the manga, keep Tengen's name.
Yeah, that was a name that I had to also kind of like, I didn't want to look too much into, but I wanted to make sure that was a character we had been alluded to.
Yeah,
the
basically the when Mahito, and we are obviously just throwing out our own personal pronunciations of every name.
I think it's Mahito.
Okay, yeah. So the goal of interrupting like the goodwill event, like the tournament battle thing, was so they could get to like near Tengen and do something with Tengen. I don't want to like speak any like more specific because I'll probably get it wrong, but that's kind of how we know about Tengen in season one.
They were trying to break into the school.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. One thing I'm going to jump back a little bit on, because you had brought, what was her, the third character in the trio?
Shoko.
Just looked identical to Maki. Like legitimately, like that just can't be a red herring. There's something there, obviously. I just want to put that in the board.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. And we don't get a ton of her. We get the fact that she leaves when she knows, obviously, that Geto and I almost called him Shoyo. He nodded the goat. Gojo are about to fight. She kind of runs away.
So I don't know if you realize this. Shoko's the doctor.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, now,
so it's not really, no, it's not, not really,
so
much.
It's nothing. Yeah,
yeah. But I think they might have just drawn her. In it's my opinion, in the manga, she looks similar to Nobara, but she doesn't look as closely. She doesn't look identical to her the way she does in the anime.
I think it's probably just a representation of
like the trio.
Trio, yeah, because
exactly,
it's kind of like, you know, Tsunade,
parallel,
Jiraiya, Orochimaru going into
kind
of even though those three look nothing like Naruto.
In terms of maybe like the stage ability,
I know what you mean. I know what you
mean. But the basketball scene didn't happen in the manga.
Yeah,
it was just. But the conversation kind of did happen. The
conversation happens. They're just sitting at a table.
It's like the same classroom.
So interested to know why they chose them to go to the auditorium and play basketball.
It must be to like just reach the younger audience. Like the scene would just be more like people would be more caught off by them playing a sport that they recognize rather than just sitting at a table.
I think it's just, I don't know. It's just try to be more.
I already
catching.
Like it.
Honestly,
it's just
now that
eye catching.
I'm thinking about it. It's really, I think, just like a metaphor for the competition between the two of them.
Yeah, okay. That too. There you go.
There you go.
That's kind of just like it's putting that idea in your head more obviously than them just sitting at chairs next to each other. Like
they're no stranger to sports, though. I mean, episode one.
They play baseball.
No, he's like.
that's like the ending of the
He's like a track star, you know? He's a runner. He's a track star.
Yeah, yeah. Like a shot put. Yeah, for sure. All right. So now we kind of get into, we've got the mission. Now it is Gojo and Geto going to the Star Plasma vessel. I guess her apartment, you could say. At this point, we don't know it's a her, but obviously now that we've watched the episode, we know it's a her. They're discussing the two groups that are also after her that the principal informed them about. We get Curse User Group Q and the Time Vessel Association. Gojo obviously is just completely in the dark about everything. So Geto naturally has to inform him that the Curse User Group Q has curse users that have jujitsu sorcerers. While the Time Vessel Association is more of a religious group, they don't really have to worry about them because they don't have any sorcerers with them.
What side hates Tengen? Do they both hate Tengen or one side?
No.
Is it a religious group? No, the religious group likes Tengen because they think he's a god. The other group is like...
Other group sees him as a useful opportunity to like create upheaval in the jujitsu world.
Okay, right.
The Time Vessel people want to keep him pure. They don't want him to get
absorbing,
a new body.
Yeah, like people who they don't see as worthy.
Yeah, well, it's more like they want to keep Tengen the way he is now. Because that's the
like
deity.
The perfect form.
Yeah, that's a deity. Yeah. Worship. Okay. Not this
girl.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It is.
Basically, I guess they're probably not as much in the know of that he does this every 500 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe this, the first time this organization's been around, they're hearing of this and they're like, oh my god, no, Tengen.
Exactly. Like the only Tengen they know is quote unquote this one.
Yeah.
So they don't want to they don't want him to go. They're interpreting it as like he's leaving or going somewhere, changing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Whoa.
So
look at that wavelength, bro. That's that vagabond JJK wavelength. All right. So Geto kind of just keeps talking, tells Gojo what we all know and love about Gojo is probably going to be a little bit of an issue at this point in his life, that he's he's just kind of a gung-ho guy, doesn't really care what he says. That obviously is just like a little seed more of their relationship. But then we get Geto. Their names are so similar. I'm fighting for my life over here.
I think it's the point.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's a good point.
You know, it's like to be their antithesis. They're an antithesis of each other, you know?
I like it. And like Dave said, they kind of do have that morality flop a little bit as that we know about. Obviously, now that we've kind of experienced it in this episode, we're now kind of anticipating that event will happen. When will it happen? What would it look like? Obviously, I think that's the major hook for this part of the season. And the kind of ending of this episode is that we get an explosion in the apartment. Geto's a beast, saves himself, also saves the vessel. And then they kind of have a little bit of a square off. Each Geto squares off against the guy that was in the apartment, whose name I did not write down. And then Gojo.
They're about to be dead.
Next episode, I don't know if you need to care about them so much. Gojo then has a little bit of a square up with actually the guy's name was Bayer, who throws all the knives at Gojo.
He was a cool seeming character, but again, like they just
with his back turn, he freezes the knives. Yeah. Like this is gonna, he's gonna work this dude.
Oh yeah, it's just not even gonna be close. I'm sure it'll be the battle will be really well animated, but I just imagine Gojo and Geto walking out here almost unscathed.
So, I know where you're going to. I just want to say where they were on the phone in the anime, in the manga, they were just both talking at the vending machine and that explosion happened and they both saw it instead of like Geto being right in front of the door when it happened.
Yeah. Again, I just would love to be in the room of just like what the reasoning for something like that. Like that one seems a little bit more.
I don't know. You know what? When you watch,
keep it fresh, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah. Keep it fresh. Again, we already know Gojo can do shit like that. Maybe to show like Geto's capable, like evading an explosion.
Yeah.
Not to mention the movie. There were some. I don't have them written down, but there were subtle differences between like Chapter Zero and the movie that came out about Yuta. Like, you know, and I think it probably happens often in manga and anime. It's just that now for Attack on Titan and for now Jujutsu Kaisen, which we're reviewing as we speak. Like we're catching them because we're trying to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, it's just a fun note. But that's all. That's pretty much it in terms of the discrepancies, though.
Yeah. The burning question is going to be, I think, the one biggest question this episode leaves us with is that guy going to cry and apologize? Or is Gojo going to kill him?
He's crying and
apologize. You think he's going to cry and apologize?
Yeah, I think he's crying and apologize.
All right.
There's a bigger question.
Now that we've got Dave's prediction on the board, we get the final scene. Where we have the Star Religious Group, which I have written down differently from the Time Vessel Association. Not sure why I did that. Seems to be the same.
No, because I think in the manga, it's the Star
Okay, that's funny. I guess I started taking some, a little bit of manga notes,
to be honest.
Yeah, but essentially, it just kind of flips Gojo. I mean, Geto rather's comment that they don't need to worry about them on its head, and that they're basically hiring someone to do the work for them. They call him Zenin at the start. He says, "No, I took my wife's name. It's Fushiguro now, and he'll take the job." And that's it. That's the episode. Manga readers are Alki's reaction with that shoo. And you get a little bit of chills at the end of that, but
dude, yo, Dave, you're gonna fucking jizz.
You're gonna love this guy.
I don't know this guy, but I kind of know him because these guys know that my favorite anime trope is just like strong, arrogant, cocky people, I guess. And like, yeah, they got introduced I even remember a couple of years ago when you guys got introduced to him reading JJK. You guys were like, dude, this guy Fushiguro, like, you're gonna, when you meet him, like, this is why you should read the manga.
Dude, seriously. And I don't know how he fares against like power scaling across all anime or manga, but dude, he's really fun.
You're gonna love his power. His like thing. It's
You're gonna love it.
It's so good.
Guess. What do you think it is?
No guess.
Come on.
That's a tough question.
Well, okay.
Bro, it's a little D&D warm up. Create the character.
I don't want to say anything because I know a detail that I don't want our listeners to.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
All right. You're a little in the know. You're a little in the know.
Like, I know a little bit about him, unfortunately, right, because it's so little, but
I thought you knew nothing.
I only know one thing. We'll talk about off pod. Okay, not like that big of a deal.
No harm, no foul.
So they call it Star Religious Group, known as a Time Vessel Association. Oh, okay. Which, so whatever.
So I'm not an idiot. Yeah. Okay. They probably were swapping it too in the anime. Yeah. All right. We're good.
I hope is that they just Gojo and Geto just wipe the floor with these guys. This Fushiguro guy comes in and is just like, all right, now you're dealing with me. And then we just get a clean fucking fight of Gojo maybe getting his ass kicked by this guy. Who knows?
Interesting, because you know, they were discrediting the Time Vessel Association, and they have something up their sleeve.
Okay, just so clarify me on, they were hiring the Time Vessel Group Association is hiring him to basically make sure that their plan is going through.
Yeah. So basically, like when Geto says earlier, like they don't need to worry about them because they don't have any sorcerers. They're hiring this guy essentially to be their muscle.
Got it.
To get rid of the Star Plasma Vessel.
Got it.
Yeah. That's kind of all you really need to know at the end of this. Like I said, at kind of the top, not a metric ton of things happen. It's a good reintroduction to our characters for the most part. We get a little bit of a flashback. Obviously, things will heat up. We'll be back covering every single episode.
Oh, I didn't listen to the outro either.
We'll talk about it. We can talk about it. Yeah. We can even just talk about it when we get a new one, and we'll talk about the old one and the new one. Doesn't really matter. So yeah, that's going to be it for me. I don't have any lasting comments. Alki, if you have anything you want to bring up towards the end.
I think it's cool. You get a glimpse of cursed users outside of the school, you know, cause they hinted at it. Obviously Mahito and whatever that group, like they're not associated. They're not, what is the word for them? Like there's an official term. The people that are with the school are an official term, and then people that are not with the school are curse users.
Oh, you're okay. I know what you're talking about. I don't know off the top of my head.
They're not like witches. Like, you're saying they have abilities, but they don't go to the school, essentially.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. They bring it up too in the first season for sure, and obviously it's a thing in the manga.
Okay, Jujutsu Sorcerer is like when they're affiliated with an official organization like the schools, and then a curse user is somebody's rogue. Okay. So you see the curse users are rogue. So you see like there are people who are not with the school, like kind of like in Magicians, how there were the, you know, all the people except for
what's her name? The main woman.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, at the beginning, Julia is a part of the
Julia.
We get our key tattoos, all of the above. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like that. It's kind of cool. And also, I have one thing to add. I know your intro went pretty long, but I think the reason we weren't all together was because you didn't live in Philly yet, bro. And now you do.
Oh shit!
So welcome to the hood.
Was that really what was going on when we did it? Shit!
You would come over for Sundays for football, and we were sometimes, but you would leave.
Good times, classic.
We've upgraded. We're men now.
Yeah.
We live in the city.
Think about when the Attack on Titan came out before you moved here, because you just moved here this past fall.
Yeah, I appreciate you doxing me.
Oh shit!
I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter. Okay, Dave. Any parting shots?
I feel like I had one thing, but it's clearly not important if I don't remember it. Just happy to be here.
We'll bring it up. I just remembered one that I have, even though I literally just said I don't have any. Is that the animation is clearly a little different. They've done some interesting things, I think, with the background of things. Sometimes they're really, like, when Udihime went in the room, and like the bed was, it looked like a painting in a weird way. Mm-hmm. It was like very smooth, and then like her was very sharp. I think the characters looked good consistently. The background itself was a little wonky at times, but in my opinion, I'm not someone that like cares so much about that. I know the story is going to bang, and the fights are going to be amazing, so I'm not really worried about it. Just felt like would be wrong if we didn't mention the animation.
That was actually what I wanted to bring up. So nice. I'm glad you mentioned it, because I think people mostly had a negative feeling towards it based off what I saw. But I honestly, I've seen when animation gets shitty. Like, I don't know if how many of these people have listened to Black Clover or watched Black Clover, but like that was like decent animation for a while. And then there was like this major fight that happens, and it's just like completely shot, like almost like the Naruto Pain fight a little bit, but like even worse, to a worse extent.
Okay, that's wild.
But here it's like you can tell it's like a little, it's just fluid, it's, I guess. I don't know. It just feels like they're like more loose, but I liked it. Yeah. It still didn't bother
me.
Like I think
blurred lines almost.
And I will say too, I feel like in my experience too, also with these newer animes, sometimes these some moments are a little bit less animated, but they save those better animated moments for like the fights. Like the, I'm okay sure the fights will be clear, crystal clear, look great. Whereas these moments where they're walking, I could care less if they.
Maybe it's because it's a background. Maybe it's because it's a.
It also could have been a stylistic choice in the sense that, like, we want to make it feel like, you know, tense a little bit. You know, like it was supposed to be a haunted house. It felt like that a little bit with how they animated
it. I didn't even want to bring it up because people online are like a piss about it. But I think worrying about
they're
that,
watching too much Demon Slayer.
Like, worried about.
Put it on the board.
Worrying about that.
I don't mind.
I don't want it to take away. It doesn't take away from the story at all. So it's like no point even, you know.
No. So, all right. That's going to wrap the first episode of season 2 Jujutsu Kaisen coverage. Obviously, our intro was long as fuck, so I'll keep the outro short as fuck. If you stayed this long, we appreciate you. If you want to keep listening, obviously the best way is to just subscribe, whatever you're listening on. Bingetown TV, at Bingetown TV, rather, is us on Twitter and Instagram. I mentioned the Discord earlier. Yada yada yada. We'll be here every episode. So apparently,
maybe not here.
Yeah, true. We'll be in your ears and in your eyeballs every episode. I think the season's supposed to go pretty long. I know there's like a little bit of a weird little break at like the end of August,
classic
start of September type of area.
Season one was 24. So
yeah, I think it's like planned as like a season one recap episode and then a season two recap episode, which feels like maybe we won't cover those, but maybe we'll take a hiatus. But we'll be back pretty much every actual episode that's here. We're going to cover it. So thanks for listening and stick around.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.